Today on the Raw Sex Podcast, Mr. Player Hater talks to Butterfly Jones about sex-related topics. She opens up for the first time and talks about loving to get her pussy licked, having sex with other women, not having multiple orgasms, plus much more. Let's join the discussion.
Hayes, let's do this. Let's step away from the player side of things right now, just for a minute. Let's sort of get a little personal. I'm going to ask you, like, what are you into sexually? Like, do you lick ass, do you suck dick, that type of stuff?
Well, to be honest with you, one of the things I don't talk about is what I do behind closed doors, and there's a reason for that. You know, because that should be a guessing game as well. What does Butterfly Jones do and what does she not do? I will answer that question this way. I need not get on my knees to please anyone. So I can assure you of that. I enjoy sex and men enjoy having sex with me. But I need not get on my knees to please.
Okay, well, that sort of takes the fun out of having a sex conversation if you're not going to talk about what we do.
Well, I'm just a regular girl who enjoys sex. I enjoy being pleased. I will say that in the bedroom that I enjoy being submissive. You know, I'm a very dominant woman, strategic thinker, intellectual. But when the bedroom door closes, I like to be the one that's in a submissive position, you know. So I'm not into grabbing dick and going to work and, you know, that more dominant personality that a lot of women have out here today. I'm more into, you know, letting a man find his pleasure in me. You know, I can say that.
Okay. So let me, since we're playing a guessing game, I'm assuming that you love to have your pussy licked.
Absolutely. Now that we can talk about all day. I love to sit on your face. That's number one. That's a must. Got to be able to sit on that face.
Okay, so let's stay right there then. Since we're sitting on faces, let's stay right there. So when you're sitting on a dude's face, and I've had two people. I had one chick say she had a dude do it, and I had a dude who actually did it. Have you had a guy swallow your orgasm?
Yes. A lot of men enjoy the taste of me. Again, I can't speak for other women or anything like that, of course, but from day one, and that's actually what got me hooked on that, was when you see, you know, your essence going inside a man's mouth and he swallows it. I mean, to me, that was the ultimate power trip. And so it happened, you know, at a young age, you know, and so once I got that, I was just like, okay, that's the standard. I'm looking for that in everybody.
So that's something that you do all the time. Would you say that's like your favorite activity as far as sex goes?
Well, yeah, that's number one. If you want to please me, you know, that's a good place to start. Is, you know, licking my pussy.
All right, let's do this. No, it's cool. I appreciate that. Okay, so you licked your pussy. Have you ever had a dude lick your ass?
Not that I can think of. That's not something that you know, that I've ever looked for, and I can't say that I remember that ever happened. No.
Now, would you be open to it? Is it just not something you don't think would turn you on?
I think that it's a challenge to get me to unlock. You know, I don't unlock with everybody, so I'm very, I'll let you lick my pussy, you know, and that I'm pretty free with that. It's like a man getting his dick sucked, but I'm not letting everybody lick me in certain areas, like my anus, you know, and, you know, I'm not riding everybody, and I'm not, you know, sucking dick like that, just, you know, so to take me to that freak level, you gotta be on something else. You got to kind of unlock that door, get me open in that way. And that's a challenge.
Okay. So are you into, let's say, random dudes licking your pussy, or does it have to be like a special?
At this point, you know, I'm not too into random tongue being on my body. That's just where I'm at this time. But I would say in the past, I probably would prefer getting freaky with somebody that I wasn't, you know, romantically involved with. And again, that's probably the player in me. So I don't want to be stuck on you emotionally or stuck on your dick. You know, I don't want to be in that headspace and trying to run game or flip game. So it's easier for me to, you know, kind of reserve that part of it for someone that I'm not as familiar with or don't care about as much. So I might have a side dude that I'm, you know, that I call in between relationships, and then you get freaky with him. But once I get into relationships, to be honest with you, when I fall for someone, I become more submissive. I want to be in the bedroom. Clarify it, in the bedroom. And I want to keep things a little more the man taking charge and not all that freaky stuff.
Okay. So let me ask you, have you ever been, like, what's the good way of putting it? Like, addicted to dick? Was there one dude that you were like, he just totally turned you out?
No. And that's something that I don't understand when I hear women saying that, you know, dick would make you slap somebody, and I was addicted to the dick, because dick was always readily available in my life. You know what I mean? Like, it was someone offering dick every half a block to me. So I kind of have that mentality that you have. It's like, you know, I don't need to get stuck on any dick because there's another dick being offered to me, you know, right around the corner. And there are a lot of men in this world who can stroke. Everybody may not have a big dick, but a lot of men know how to stroke it. So I never got caught up on one particular dick.
Okay, hey, let me ask you, since you're talking about stroking, like, what's your favorite rhythm? You into jackrabbit dudes or into, like, long stroking dudes?
No, I like men to make love to me. I'm not, again, into the porn star sex and all that kind of stuff. I'm the type of female, again, behind closed doors, I'm a lady. And I want you to make me feel like a lady. Treat me like a lady. Stroke me like a lady. Again, even when I'm in a relationship with a person and I'm just dating, I like to feel that I have the control, that I'm the one that's pacing myself. I want to see the man lose control on me, not me submitting to him, you know, not me losing control and trying to get him off. I want to see him getting off just being inside me or being on top of me. That's my thing.
Now, do you have multiple orgasms, or do you, like shoot one off and that's about it?
I would say I'm a one-orgasm girl, and I always have been. I always wish that I could get those multiple ones off, but haven't been successful with that. So.
Yeah, I'd be honest with you. That shit's a turn-on. I love chicks who can, like, have multiple orgasms. That shit is, like, a turn-on for me. It, like, makes you want to keep going and keep fucking them more because it's just, like, you're getting something back. It's almost like hitting a jackpot at slot machine. It's like, you know, you're getting something back. So, like, this shit is fun. Every time I hit it this way, this chick gets the noise and she starts squirting. So I'm like, yeah, so multiple orgasms are the bomb.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think it might be the luck of the draw or the way that, you know, your pussy fits. You know, short cock, long cock is the way I hear it. You know, I think all of that plays into how a woman orgasms, you know, how many times she can orgasm, because I'm just a one-orgasm girl. Now, the benefit to that, for me being a one-orgasm girl, is that one of the things I used to do is men used to offer to lick my pussy constantly. I mean, that would be the thing they thought would get me turned out. Don't ask me why, but this is just my experience. And they didn't know that I was a one-orgasm girl. And I'm like, once I come, I'm done. And so they would be like, watch, I'm going to turn you out. I'm going to make you, you know, want to fuck me. And you're going to fuck me better than you ever fucked anybody else. You're going to be strong. And I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. Let me, you know, lick the pussy. Do it. Because I know once I climax, I'm done. Not only for the night, but almost like a dude, I'm ready to go home, get away from you. It sends me into another mode. So even though I haven't had the blessing of the multiple orgasms, that one single orgasm, I think, made me a better female player.
Yeah, I can see that, because like you said, you have the mentality of, like, most dudes. It's like, okay, I already busted my nut, nigga, get the fuck off.
Right, and they would be sitting there like, wait a minute, because they thought that that would be the open door for them to get the pussy. But actually, once you lick my pussy and I climax, that's it. You're done. I'm done. Let's move on to the next.
Yeah. So do you believe in pussy and dick compatibility? Like, you have certain pussy, I think you touched on it earlier, that it sort of fits, that your dick sort of fits better than other pussy, and when you have that, that makes for a better connection sexually. So in other words, do you believe in sexual compatibility?
Absolutely. There are men even kissing, you know, that you kiss and immediately it's like, this is not a match. And the same sexually. I mean, there are just dicks to pussies that just don't blend, you know. But being a person who has, you know, gone through multiple relationships, I can say that in the beginning of my dating life, I would have said, okay, I got to have this kind of dick, this size, because this is what fits in me right. This is, you know, the stroke game that I need. But actually, if I'm in love with the man, I'm in love with him. That's where I grew to know that that's what it was about. And so it becomes less important how he fits inside me and more important that we are connected.
Hey, this is Butterfly Jones. I'm checking in with the Player Hater on the Player Hater podcast. You can check me out at butterjones.com. That's BUTTAJONEZ. I have my blog on there. I'm giving you players tips on how to hustle, how to pimp, how to play, how to match. You can also check me out on Twitter at butterjones. Again, BUTTAJONEZ. Remember, I am the female match, the world's expert on games.
Yeah. Hey, you ever had a chick lick your pussy before?
Yes, I have.
In what type scenario? Was it like a three-way type thing? Was it like a dude and a chick, or two chicks and a dude, or what was it?
No, I've never done a threesome. And I know that's unusual, but I've never had a threesome. And actually, you know, the first person I ever turned out was a female. And that I was 8 years old, and I did it many, many times. So that was the scenario of me starting. Like I said, the game was in me, not on me. I just remember it just came to me to sit, do something at this girl and tell her this, tell her that, and the next minute she was doing what I asked her to do. And there we were.
Your game extends on both sides. It's like dudes and chicks. So I heard you mention before in the first conversation that you ran game on chicks, but I thought you meant in a pimping type way where they went out and worked where you made money. But you mean you actually like sexually get involved with chicks?
Yeah, well, what I'm explaining to you, that was how I discovered, you know, that I had that kind of game over women, because I'm a heterosexual. You know, I like men. I don't want a girlfriend. I discovered, you know, just again, I don't know where it came from, but I had this girlfriend and I felt that I wanted her to lick my pussy. I wanted to see if she would do it. It was more a kickoff, if she would do it. Could I con her into doing what I wanted her to do? Because we were not, you know, kissing or anything like that. We were just friendly. And when I saw that I could get her to do what I asked her to do on command, and she didn't even know why, then I knew, okay, so what I can do with boys, I can do with girls. And it kind of just spiraled, I feel, out of control for a while. And then I kind of, you know, pulled back on that, because I have a lot of respect for women, you know what I mean? And so it was like this guilt thing that, okay, you can pimp women, you can control women, you can sexually exploit women, but is this what you want to keep doing? You know what I mean? So I left it alone for a while, you know, and then I got deep into, I would say, exploiting women in my 20s. And so that's where the situation that I mentioned to you on the last conversation kind of came into play, you know, so... But my discovery of the power I had over women, or the game I could run on women, I discovered at 8.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you, because you touched on it before. So do you consider yourself heterosexual or bisexual?
I'm heterosexual. And I know that sounds weird, but I would say that the proper term is probably bi-curious. You know, I'm not, again, into having consistent sex with women. I don't want a girlfriend. None of that appeals to me. But there is a certain attraction I have to women. I do find women attractive. I can find them attractive in a sexual way. I don't often act on that. And I also, let me just be clear. I have a tendency of, if I'm attracted to a female, then I want to temp her. That is the tick for me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not about me being gay and having a girlfriend. That doesn't interest me. But if I can get in her head and get her to perform for me sexually, that is a power trip for me. That is the term. And that's what I try to rein in now, especially because I'm, you know, trying to tell women how to avoid getting played. You see what I'm saying? That it's not about me having a girlfriend. That's of interest.
Right, now I feel you on all of that. And then I know for you it's like a power thing because you deal more in strategy and shit like that and power than emotions. I got you. I totally understand that. But, and you even said it seemed kind of odd for you not to consider yourself bisexual. I think because maybe there's a stigma on the whole bisexual thing. I'm not saying you want a girlfriend. I'm not saying you want to fall in love with a chick. No, none of that. But I believe the definition, and I'm going to ask Siri later what the definition of bisexual is, but I think what the definition is someone who's attracted to both sexes, sexually. And you've had sex with dudes, you've had sex with chicks, so to me, you would be bisexual. Whereas here's the flip side. Dudes who fuck other dudes are straight gay.
I mean, yeah, it's a double standard. But in my head, you know, like I said, I can only explain it the way I see it, you know, because I've had women that want to be sexual with me on a, you know, just a sexual relationship or have a romance with me, and I'm not interested in that. The interest in me is getting a woman to do what I'm asking her to do sexually on command. That is
the power thing. I got you. Like I said, no, I totally understand the power thing. The only thing I'm going on now is just I'm trying to get clarity on, I guess, is just the whole bisexuality thing. Because, yeah, like you said, there's a double standard. And I'm okay with the double standard. Not that I'm okay with watching two chicks go at it, because that's definitely not a turn on for me. That shit comes on and I'm watching porn, I'm flipping right by it. It's just I'm not by it. I know a lot of dudes are. They're into three ways and seeing two chicks go at it. No, that shit has no appeal to me whatsoever. But the double standard is what you touched on. Two chicks is, like, acceptable. Two chicks going at it because chicks, I don't know, women are different with one another. Whereas two dudes going at it, totally gay. It's straight gay. If you let a dude suck your dick, you gay. If you fuck him in the ass and let him fuck you in the ass, and you lusting over this motherfucker, you gay. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. But with women, it's totally different. Y'all get a pass.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, maybe, okay. I mean, I'm not opposed to the labels. You know, labels don't bother me, bisexual, whatever. But I'm just letting it be known to the world that, you know, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. You know, but if you want to offer yourself to me, then, you know, we can discuss other things. You know what I'm saying? But as far as me laying up, waking up, one chick asked me, she was like, I just want to be your lady. I don't want to wake up next to you. I want to hold your hand walking down the street. That's not of interest to me. You know, I like to see women submit. I like to see them surrender. You see what I'm saying? It's the opposite of when I'm with a man. I want to be the submissive person and be, you know, the one that receives. But if I'm dealing with a female, it's totally opposite. The way that I've been told that it's seen in the gay culture is that I have a stud mentality, but I'm feminine. You know, they call it a fem stud. So it's a very unique perspective. This is gay chicks who have told me this, that actually a lot of them said it's a turn off because I come off as very studdish in the way that I approach them. Have you ever been around a lot of females who are studs?
Not a lot, but I've seen them in action, yeah.
Well, I have, you know, it was later on in life that I got to know some very well, and they actually broke it all down to me because they were like, you know, you're like us, and they see themselves as men. you know, and they think and act as a man. So they said, what's interesting with you is that you maintain your femininity, but yet you have a sluttish mentality. And that's, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but that's the best way that, the best explanation that I've ever received of how I think and how I approach women, you know. I'm not necessarily interested in a relationship with them, just, I don't know, sexual exploitation, you know. That's the turn on to me. And I know that's weird and it may sound fucked up to some people, but that's the pimp in me, you know.
But no, just look, I mean, we're all different, and I'm never offended by somebody being honest about the way they are. I actually appreciate that a lot, because you have so many people who are phony about it. We touched on it at the beginning of the conversation. So many people are phony about who they are, and they totally disingenuous as far as their approach to life, as far as their approach to how they want to introduce themselves to other people. And I'm not into the whole being phony shit. So no, I appreciate everything you're saying. And we're full of contradictions as individuals. We are full of contradictions. So I totally understand if you say I'm this way, but I'm also this way. We're all that way. We're all multi-dimensional and diverse. Everyone is that way. So no, I totally understand that. So saying that you love dudes and chicks and you love being this way with one but the other way, nah, it's okay. I totally understand what you mean.
Because a lot of guys think, you know, I've been in relationships with men who kind of piqued the fact that there was a bi curiosity in me. And even though I wouldn't admit it to them, you know, because if I'm running game with somebody or I'm coming from a certain angle, I can't let every aspect of me be seen. So I'm careful about that. But some of them did peep it. And the first thing that men want to think if you're bi-curious or bisexual is that you're going to do a threesome. You know, like, oh, I know this bad chick, and, you know, I want to see you two getting down. That's not of interest to me. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference between me and maybe some other women that you may know, or the guys out there may know, who are lesbian or bi-curious, is that I'm not into doing threesomes and we both sucking your dick. One dude asked me, he's like, I would just love for you to suck my dick and then another chick to lick my balls. And then when I come, you know, I want to come in your mouth. And he thought that was a turn on. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, no, I'd rather see you come in this other chick's mouth and we both can get off looking at that. You know what I'm saying? So...
Now, if a dude you were with, let me ask you, if a dude you were with proposed a three-way, it's like, baby, I met this badass chick. Maybe it's happened. It has happened. You mentioned that. But was it your dude, or was that, like, just a random dude that wanted to, like, introduce another chick?
No, I wouldn't do a three-way with the guy I'm in a relationship with, no. The only way that if we ever had something like that, it would definitely be on my end, not me inviting him to participate. I don't know how that sounds. He can't get that kind of satisfaction in my view, in my fucked up view of relationships. Because I don't think that men should be pleased in that way. Once you start opening that door as a woman and saying, well, baby, I'm going to let you live out your fantasy, then I think you're in dangerous territory. You know, you kind of start losing the leverage in the relationship. The only way that we probably would ever engage in something like that is if it was on my end. And it wouldn't be with a man. It would be with another female. And I would be dictating what was acceptable sexual contact or not. And again, that's the player in me.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, because that's a player mentality and most dudes' mentality in a relationship where they feel as though they're in control. I mean, you notice I said they feel as though they're in control. A lot of dudes feel as though they're controlled in that relationship. And I don't know, I'm not talking about your dude. I mean, dudes in general. Even though it's really the woman in control of things and dictating how things flow in that relationship, most dudes think, I don't know why, some delusional reason that they got the power. And it's rarely the truth.
Right. Well, we're very good at making men believe they have the power. You know, you might say, you might propose a threesome, for example, and say, baby, you want to do this and that. And you didn't know that that was her kick. That her kick is actually to have two dicks in her ass. And you don't know that about her. And so you're thinking you're running things or you're controlling the relationship by suggesting it, and that she pretends to go along with it, but you don't know that that was already in her head, and she was wanting the relationship to progress to that level anyway. That's just some of the games that women play. Like you said, women are the ones setting the tone. I will say that a lot of women give that power away, though. In 2015, a lot of women, you know, literally hand their power over to the man in their life and just like, you just tell us what to do, baby. You know, I was listening to a radio show and they were talking about threesomes. And they were saying, you know, women, you should let your man have a threesome if he wants that. And all these women started calling me and saying, yeah, if your man wants a third person, you know, a good woman will let him have what will please him. Because if you don't please him, then he'll leave you for somebody else who will do it. And I'm just like, so just give your power away, huh? Just give the leverage away. This is nonsense. If you are in touch with the truth, you know that women are the ones that have the power, the leverage, and the control in the relationship. And the only way you lose that is if you give it away.
And what I would say is, okay, and what I would say, I would slightly disagree, only based on my own experience. But I understand what you're saying now. I believe it's not just a woman that can have power in a relationship, because you have lots of women who pursue dudes. And in that way, I agree. They give up, they relinquish their power. Anytime you pursue too aggressively, you've given up your power. You have no leverage in that relationship or slash situation anymore. You've given that up. It's totally up to him to decide what he then wants to do with you. Same thing with the chick who invites a dude in too soon to fuck him or to live with him. Like, you've lost leverage. You've already shown your desperation from the jump. This dude now knows you want him in your life so bad that you would do anything for him. And it's the same thing on the dude side. If dudes go out of their way to spoil women, I've been saying it for years, don't spoil women. Don't do it. For number one, it ain't necessary. Pussy is so easy to get. You just have to be patient, brother. Just be patient. Engage with that system mentally, intellectually. That pussy will come. Save all your money. Give yourself, instead of trying to fuck the first night you meet her, brother, just wait a week. Cater, do the things that she enjoys doing that you enjoy doing with her, and that pussy will come.
I agree with that, absolutely. And this is, you know, that's what I was saying in my book, Ladies Man, How to Talk to Beautiful Women. You have to let the pussy come to you. The pussy will inevitably come to you. You know, the only way that you don't get pussy is you talk yourself out of it. The pussy is there. You, as a man, you should always have that in your mind. The pussy is already mine. If not this chick, maybe her friend, maybe her cousin, maybe even her mama. But the pussy is going to come to me. So I don't have to chase the pussy. I just have to basically, like you said, be around, present myself enough that I'm available when the pussy, you know what I'm saying, is ready to give itself to me. It's just that simple. You know, you can spend money and what you call those types of men who chase pussy by spending money and trying to, you know, buy their way into a woman's bedroom. You call those men tricks, or you call them suckers. And women are looking for those types of men to play. You know, if you want to get your rent paid, you're looking for a sucker like that. Somebody who's going to chase the dream of pussy and is willing to give anything for it. But like you said, if you understand the game, then you know that the pussy is going to come.
What I want to ask you is this, because I noticed just in the conversation we've had today, you're heavy in the game. I mean, the game is your life. You are heavy in the every part of your being. Every part of your life is like a chess match. It's like, what can I do with this dude to get to where I want to go? What can I do with this dude to get what I want? You know, everything is a game for you, and I understand that. So saying that and knowing that, do you think a chick like you could ever get married?
Could I ever get married, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm married to the game right now, you know, but it took a certain type of dude, you know, for me to match up with. That I will say that being me is challenging because either men feel inferior, you know, once you get in a relationship with them and they actually peep the fact that mentally you're far above where they assumed you were, a lot of them get intimidated and they can't handle that. And other men are just too easily consumed in your game. So it doesn't work on my end. I'm just into it. So, yes, you can eventually meet a person, you know, that you fall in love with and that loves you and get married. But it, I will say that it can be lonely. It can be lonely and it can be challenging. You know, a lot of pimps have said that being a pimp is a lonely life. Because who thinks like you? You know what I mean? At the level you're thinking. How many people are walking around with your mentality? Not that many.
So, all right, a step away from that. Let's close out on this. What was the happiest moment of your life?
The happiest moment? I don't know. That's throwing me.
What? Players aren't allowed to be happy or what?
Yeah, players are allowed to be happy. I'm trying to think on the happiest. I don't know. I can't. Everything I'm thinking of, there was like happiness and then sadness. You know, so I'm trying to find that point where I was just elated.
I mean, I'm going to go happy and sad. If you can give me the happy part of that, and then I'm also going to ask you what the saddest part. So it's up to you. You can give me the happy part of that same scenario if you want me to.
Well, I'll say that this is just one part of my life where I'd be, you know, was very happy. And that was when I met the guy that I'm with now. And the only reason I bring that up is because we were just on that subject. And I will say that where the happiness came from was that I finally met someone that I could be myself in front of. You know, I didn't have to have a mask. I didn't have to pretend not to know things and pretend to be dumb or dumbfounded. I didn't have to be that chick, you know, or just superficial and only caring about how my ass and my titties look in my outfit, which is what a lot of men are looking for. And I could just be me. That was literally, it was a joy that came from that. That was, it put me in a place of peace and contentment that I hadn't felt in a long time. Because many people that I've been around, even female friends and stuff, they only want to see a certain part of your personality. You know, once you demonstrate the other side or they see certain aspects that are uncomfortable to them, then they don't understand. So you learn as a person to mask a, you know, part of you and show that face that people want to see. And when you find a person that you can actually take, you know, your mask off and they love you even more, that's happy.
So what was the saddest moment in your life?
Well, there have been a couple sad moments, very sad moments in my life in the last few years. And one of those moments, I would say, was watching my mother go blind. That really, that did something to me, you know. The mother that really taught me the fundamentals of the game is keeping it 100. My mother's cold, you know. She's very good at knowing how the game of life works, you know. And she taught me some of the fundamentals that made me just come out of my team, you know, on top of things. And watching her go from being that woman to not being able to see was devastating, you know. And then right after that, you know, I had a miscarriage. And it was not an early miscarriage. It was, you know, a second trimester miscarriage. And it was not pleasant. It was a person like myself, I never really was somebody who wanted to have kids at an early age. That didn't appeal to me. I knew, though, that when I got with the man that I was going to spend my life with, that I would have children with him. And to get to that point and finally be like, okay, now my life is, you know, going in this direction, being a mother, and losing it all in the span of 24 hours, that was devastating to me. And I think it changed me. I think those are two things that really changed me as a person.
I appreciate that. So, two more questions. Next to last one is, if you could do anything in your life over, what would it be?
I was just talking about this the other day. When I was 18, I was offered a record deal. And I turned that offer down. I was offered, you know, a couple other Hollywood, you know, type of things, movies and things like that, and turned it down because I was taught that it was about money, you know, and my headspace was about, you know, get that money, focus on the money. And being in entertainment and all of that is an unsure thing, you know, it's a high risk bet. And so the player in me said, you know, you need to focus on this money. Fuck that Hollywood shit. And if I could go back to that self, I would have told self, take the risk. You know, do that. Because you're only that age. You only have that 18 to 25-year-old woman has going on for so long. And then the come up would be in that. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes your blessing is in how you look or how people respond to you. And if that's your gift, roll with it. Get the money and then flip it that way. And I just feel that, you know, if I had it to do over, that's the one thing I would have taken the deal and gotten out there and had my career and all of that and used that money and flipped it. And instead of doing it the intellectual, route, because I had that option.
So, since you have regrets, and we all have regrets, would you say overall, and it's, like I said, we'll close out on this one, would you say overall, unless you want to add to it, would you say overall you're satisfied with your life?
Yes, I've gotten to a place of satisfaction. I'm a Virgo, and we're one of those types of people that can be very critical, and, you know, nothing is really good enough to us. So I'm constantly setting goals and that kind of thing. I'm a naturally unsettled person. But I have definitely found a peace in my life and a peace with who I am as a person that's unshakable. And that's a blessing and a gift in itself. What I do going forward is all gravy. You know, the foundation of my life and the foundation of who I am as a person, I'm satisfied with.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I appreciate you taking our time and open it up. You know, initially I thought it was going to be hard, but it wasn't hard. Made it easy, and it was enjoyable to be a part of.
I thought about it, and I was like, well, you know, I have been a stone in the public eye and on the internet or whatever since I started blogging, you know, even from my first blog. I let no one. You know, and I thought about it in the midst of you asking the questions, like, this is your opportunity to show the other side of you, you know, and so good, bad, or indifferent, put it out there. So I kind of changed my mind in the midst of things, and I hope that lets people see into who I am more, because a lot of people have, you know, they're not really understanding who I am or where I'm really coming from. And so hopefully listening to me, they'll have a better understanding of that.